Howdy, Odyssey World. I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine.
And I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. Today, we're continuing our deep dive into the episodes The Best Is Yet to Come.
We're deep, all right. Mariana Trench deep. This round, we're hearing secrets from the sound designers who put these shows together. But first, here's the latest news.
Just in time for Christmas, gift memberships are now available for the Adventures in Odyssey Club. If you want to give a membership to a friend or family member, now's your chance.
You can bundle some special gifts alongside the membership, too. Check out the details on our website at adventuresinodyssey.com. We'll have some more information there soon about the live event in August 2024.
Now let's turn back to The Best Is Yet to Come. But first, we need another spoiler warning.
If you haven't heard all four parts of The Best Is Yet to Come, stop the podcast now and check them out on the club, CD, and download.
Sound designers Luke Gonneau and Zach Schneider both started their Odyssey careers as apprentices, and now they're full-fledged sound designers whose resumes include the Rydell Revelations, As Buck Would Have It, The Fast and the Ridiculous, the 28-hour six-parter, and many more.
Let's hear how The Best Is Yet to Come came together. Luke, Zach, welcome back to the studio.
Yeah,
thank
hi.
You.
It's fun to be back.
It is always great to have you here to talk sound design. And, you know, this four-part show really felt like a milestone for Adventures in Odyssey. Did it feel that way on the production side as well?
Well, for me, I think this four-parter was probably the most challenging project I've worked on so far anyway. From a technical perspective, there is so much more work involved with these shows than usual, and I'm sure we'll get into that. And from an emotional perspective, they felt incredibly significant.
Yeah.
We're saying like farewell to a beloved and a very important Odyssey character. And there was so much anticipation for these shows, and I know everybody on the team felt like a massive responsibility to give the shows all we could to make them like special. And I mean, to do it for Will and his wife and all the fans. It's kind of overwhelming to think about how significant these episodes actually are.
Yeah. Like, how about you, Zach?
So much history.
Yeah. Did you feel it too?
Honestly, yeah, but I tried not to think about it. That was my approach, was just like do the best that I could with, especially the things that we've done before. Like there were lots of parts of it.
Yeah.
Just kind of like a lot of other shows. So it was it was fun to get to do new things and the same thing.
And try not to be too terrified about, you know, what these episodes mean
no
for Odyssey.
Right. Yeah. Gotta get these right for sure.
Yeah.
And you two have teamed up on several of these big multi-part shows. 28 Hours comes to mind. So is it you guys are some kind of dream team on the big shows? What is it that makes you guys always, you know, brings you guys together on these things?
I think there are two parts to this answer. I don't know about you, Zach.
Well, you start.
I'll start. The first one's really dull and boring. And there are things like production schedules and deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
And like logically, we can just move through a show's post-production faster if we're like working simultaneously on an episode.
True.
But I think there's a second part to it. Like,
do you want me to answer that?
Yes, do it.
Oh, it's because we work so well together.
We're so insane.
Finishing each other's sentences.
No, but like we actually do work really well together. There are parts of the process that I enjoy more than Luke and vice versa.
Yeah.
And they aren't the same. So the things that I enjoy are things that Luke doesn't. And so it's like, it's really fun for us to work together because we get to play to our strengths. And I mean, I've learned a lot from Luke and I hope you've learned something during this.
Yes.
Yeah. But it is fun to do things collaboratively when a lot of what we do is, you know, solo. So it is fun to work on projects together.
If I could do the post-production on every Odyssey show I work on from now until the town of Odyssey explodes in, like, album 947 or
okay,
whatever.
What do you know that we don't?
I love the collaborative element, just bouncing ideas off of each other. It brings a richness and a freshness to every show, I think. And it increases my satisfaction with the end project. I mean, when we just done something together, it's like teamwork.
Yay. Yeah. Now, on big shows like this, do you build in more time on the front end or do you just handle them like any other show?
So, yes, we do obviously spend more time to work on a multi-parter like this.
Yeah.
However, if you think about it in terms of single episodes, sometimes working on a multi-parter can actually be faster.
Yes.
Because you're not having to start from the beginning with everything, you can mix two or three shows together in one session.
Love multi-parters.
Yeah, a lot faster than you can, like, starting one show and then opening another show. And, you know, this, yeah. It's actually less work to do multi-parters.
As far as the story goes, this show is really kind of simple, straightforward. There wasn't any crazy action sound design moments.
Maybe like fireworks.
The fireworks.
Yeah, maybe some
well,
fireworks.
Yes, yeah. But I mean, like, there wasn't a bomb threat at a hospital with, like, hundreds of people evacuating like there was in 28 hours. So, but because of the decision to use the voice cloning tech for the voice of Eugene, editing the voice tracks did take a lot longer than usual. And I'm sure we'll get into that at some point.
Yeah. Let's get into it right now. All right. You know, because we've talked on several podcasts about the voice cloning technology. So what was your reaction when you first heard that we were going to be using that tech to create the character of Eugene?
Well, I've got to say, I was like not on board with the idea when it was first presented. I don't know about Zach, but I mean, I was
a little hesitant.
Yeah. I was concerned that it was going to sound a little artificial and maybe not wouldn't work for the show. What kind of changed my mind about it was like that Will's wife, Nancy, and Will's closest friends from Odyssey were all on board with, you know, giving this tech a shot. And I mean, that changed everything for me. And I think it did for a lot of team members when we knew we had their blessing.
But. Yeah. I mean, pretty much the same answer as Luke. I had some concerns when we started first throwing around the idea in terms of whether we could do it and also whether we should do it.
Mm-hmm.
But like Luke said, there was a lot of support from people that were close to Will, and also hearing from the writers what their vision was for these shows, I think really also helped me be on board because honestly, as somebody who did listen to Odyssey, who listens to Odyssey, it's as a fan, it was nice to get some kind of closure. And I think having this story to send the character of Eugene off in this way was really important to be able to do it well. And I think that's what we did.
Yeah. Of course, Will passed away in November of 21. And really, the concept, the idea of these shows, when he was ill, we weren't sure exactly what the future of the character was going to be. So it goes back a long way. What was your role early on? Did you guys have much input in the conversations about sort of the way we were going to go with this?
Well, we were a little bit involved. Obviously, we weren't involved on the story and writing side of things, but we had several meetings where we brought the whole team together and talked about kind of how we wanted to approach this moving forward, if we wanted to, like, what we wanted to do with the character of Eugene, essentially. And so we all got to give our opinions and say what we think, you know, would be a good decision. And once that decision had been made, once we decided to do what we eventually ended up doing, which was using this technology, then we got a little more into the nitty-gritty, so to speak, and deciding, how best to make that happen.
Yeah. Do you have notes at various stages through the process that you can remember?
I don't know if we really had too many notes up until the script had been written. And then we actually usually will give notes at that point for most any show.
Yeah. Before we ever knew this voice cloning tech existed, I think the writers made a decision to have Eugene leave Odyssey by repurposing never-before-heard lines from an unused episode that was recorded in 2006, End of an Era.
Which is where we got the Bernard line.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There were some really sweet scenes in there of Eugene saying farewell to some of the people in Odyssey. And so, I mean, I was happy with that direction. I was glad we were moving that way. But the voice cloning tech was introduced and then, like, everything changed. I mean, I was still concerned the tech might not work. Because here's the thing. This same tech has been used in super famous shows like Star Wars. So it's certainly not unprecedented. But when this tech is used in a movie, there's a whole bunch of visuals on screen to distract us from the fact that we're hearing more of like a digitized kind of voice. We see the character in the show moving his lips, and so we could even turn on the subtitles if we want. It's no big deal. But in an audio drama, we don't have any visuals to distract us.
Yeah.
And our audience can't just throw on subtitles if something's hard to hear. The voices have to sound clear and intelligible and believable. So I say all that. Because once the writers made the decision to use the tech and write new Eugene lines, us in the post-production world, we pushed to be very intentional about writing Eugene into the show, to limit his dialogue if we could, to avoid having him outside, or to try to, like, put him on the phone to try to disguise the fact, because we really weren't sure if it was going to work.
Well, it's like we knew it would work to a certain point, yeah. But we were still trying to
find,
give ourselves as much leeway as possible.
Yeah. But in the end, it all came together. So yeah. I'm really happy we went
this
way.
And we did have the benefit of doing a test with the company, which turns out it's the same company that has worked with Star Wars.
Yes.
So, so they knew what they were doing, and we did get a chance to hear it before we committed to it.
Yes.
Luke, it's cool you mentioned that sort of lost or never aired episode. You got some sound and some vocal from that. And of course, there was the voice cloned sections.
Yeah.
But those weren't the only lines and sounds that Eugene had in these shows. So where else did the audio come from that was used?
As far as Eugene's actual voice, what makes this episode special to me is that not everything from Eugene was created with the voice cloning tech. Actual stuff from Will Ryan, like from that unheard, unreleased episode, is sprinkled throughout. The intro to the episode, the, "Hi, I'm Eugene Meltzner," or however he says, that's actually Eugene. Lines from Green Room Conspiracy and Ties That Bind were sprinkled in there. And here I'm going to have to give a shout out to Rudy Hare, our Odyssey mastering engineer.
Firefighter Rudy.
Woohoo! he combed through archive voice tracks from hundreds of shows and created a library of Eugene sounds and vocalizations. You know, Eugene was iconic for his hmms and oohs and, you know, all that kind of stuff, even as the way he'd sigh. So, I mean, he compiled all that and we dropped it in. Every scene has something from Will in it, which is really special to me.
And it wasn't just his vocal reactions that we actually added. We added a few other things, most notably his ukulele playing. If you listen to the scene where they're sitting out in the backyard and Buck's up in the treehouse and he's talking to Katrina, he's like, you know, just playing away on his ukulele. And for anybody that knows, Will would often play the ukulele in the studio.
Between takes, during takes, during lunch.
Yeah. So we had all of this playing of the ukulele from Will himself. And so I was able to compile some of that and throw that into that scene so that Will could be playing his ukulele.
And we'll shout out Nathan Hubler here too, because he searched for episodes to help find some ukulele stuff for us. So thank you, Nathan.
Now, of course, we've already heard from the writers and from actors Katie Lee and Townsend Coleman about recording the Eugene lines for the story. But tell us about the voice editing process. How was it different for those scenes than your typical voice edit would be?
Well, it was, I'll just say it was a long process.
Yeah.
But we started with Townsend doing the voice for Eugene. And we weren't sure whether or not we would start with him in the voice edit or whether we would send the voice off to be processed and have it back as Will before we wanted to then add it to our voice edited scenes. So what we ended up doing was kind of a mixture of both, actually. We would edit scenes that Eugene wasn't in, and so those would all be ready to go. And then any scene that he was in, we actually put kind of a pause on until we got back all of the dialogue that had been, you know, Eugenized, if you want to call it that. But that then got put into the voice edit. So those scenes kind of came a little bit later. And we did end up going through a few iterations of that just to get it the way that we wanted it.
Yeah.
And so it did take a little while to compile all of the Eugene dialogue separately, send that off, get it back, and then re-import it, re-add it into the edited scenes.
It must have taken 3 times longer than a typical voice edit or something like that.
It definitely took more work
to,
because everything had to be done twice, essentially, for the Eugene scenes.
Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, Eugene's performance in these shows took a lot of time to get just right. But what were some of the other challenging parts of these shows?
We kind of alluded to it earlier. This episode features an appearance by Bernard. I mean, that's pretty cool. He was part of that unused episode in 2006, the End of an Era show. The writers did a great job making it fit into the story, but it definitely took a little bit more work to make sure Bernard's pacing and energy meshed well with the other actors in the studio. We played the lines for them, and they heard them, and then they tried to react and match his energy accordingly. It was really cool that Bernard was able to make a cameo appearance. It was a little bit more work than usual, but it was fun.
Well, we have to ask about the fireworks scene. Where did you get those fireworks? Was that something off of a sound effects library?
No, but in real life, a lot of that stuff actually just came from our sound effects server. And it was fun to create that because they had names for all of the fireworks in the show. So I tried to imagine what a exploding gator or whatever the thing was called would sound like. And we built a bunch of those and then just crammed them all together into a short space of time and made it sound super chaotic. And like there was possibility for, you know, trees to catch on fire.
You did a great job. They sounded wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, that was a dramatic moment in one sense, but there were some other really dramatic moments. In fact, I couldn't help but get a little choked up at times listening to it. Did you guys ever find yourself getting emotional while you were producing these shows?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I've been listening to Odyssey for as long as I can remember. I don't remember a time before I heard Will Ryan's voice as Eugene. I don't have as much history as other members of the team do with Will himself. I mean, but there were still some really emotional moments in the show, like the back half of part four. I was very moved by the writing and the performances. Mm-hmm.
And listening to it when you're voice editing or if you're mixing, like just having that on repeat can get a little emotional too.
You want Chris to come in and find you in a puddle?
No. There may have been moments like that.
Yeah. As serious as these episodes are, they also have a lot of humor in them. What's something funny that happened behind the scenes?
So one of my favorite moments in the studio was actually from Audrey, who plays Katrina. And there's the scene where Jules pulls up in Officer Burke's car and hops out. And Buck's like, it's Jules. And she'd kind of been playing this on the side anyway, between takes, that Katrina's not really a fan of Buck and Jules' relationship. So when Buck sees Jules and he goes, it's Jules, she turned to Eugene and said, step on it, Eugene. And I so wanted to put in squealing tires during that part of the but we didn't.
That'd have been a fun playback joke.
It would have been fun. But it was still a funny moment in the studio. I got all of us laughing.
Audrey's awesome.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's been months now since you finished The Best Is Yet to Come.
Hard to believe.
And we always ask this question, like, if you could go back to the mix now, is there anything that you would change?
I'd probably still be tweaking the show. I mean, probably up to my dying day if I could. Each Eugene line was meticulously processed to try and make it sound as great as it could. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'd be spending half an hour working on one Eugene word, just trying to get it to fit in the mix and sound believable. But, you know, deadlines are real. Mm-hmm. We all need to know when to call a project done. Mm-hmm.
I feel that way every month with Clubhouse as well. Like, it's, it has to go out the door, and you'd love to do more, but that's kind of where you're at. Mm-hmm, yeah. How about lessons you learned, right? You guys use so much new technology, all these different things. What did you take away from these shows that maybe you can apply to future episodes?
So it's a blessing and a curse because I listen to voices differently now that I've gone through all of the voice edits and the back and forth between the voice clone stuff and the actual human voice. So I learned a lot about intonation and the sounds that you make in the back of your throat and all of those things that I probably never really needed or wanted to know about, but I can now hear when I talk to people.
Wow.
I mean, something I learned while working on these episodes that I've been using on every episode since, because of the digital processing for Eugene's voice, I wanted to disguise it, you know, make it sound as believable and fit into the show as best as possible. So I turned towards some, like, more old-fashioned tech to run Eugene's voice and the whole show through, a software that recreates the sound of cassette tape. I had to play with the settings so it didn't sound, like, too crazy or sound like something from the 80s or whatever. But I love how it sounded, and it's... I grew up working with cassette tapes and, like, playing around with them. So it's, like, it's fun to be able to incorporate that technology in 2023. I thought that was kind of fun, and I've been doing it every show I've worked on since.
And it sounds brilliant.
Well, thank
right.
you.
Thus proving the 80s were still the best.
I wouldn't know.
That's another podcast for another time. So before we wrap things up, guys, is there anything maybe we didn't ask you about The Best Is Yet to Come that you would like to share with our fans?
It was a privilege to work on these shows, and I'm so grateful we were able to. And it's really meaningful to hear the response from the fans. And I was actually just talking with Nancy, Will's wife, last week when we were out in Burbank for recording sessions. And she was sharing how she's really appreciative of these shows and how well they turned out. And they meant a lot to her. And that meant a lot to me to know that they meant a lot to her.
And I think kind of just to second what Luke said, which I feel like I've been doing a lot, but to second what Luke said.
This is why you guys work together so well.
Yeah. We're brilliant. What can we say?
I mean, just the opportunity to work on this project and to give Eugene a send-off mm-hmm. that was good for fans, I think, good for the team, like in a sense of closure
yeah.
in a way. I think being a part of something like that has been really special and, yes, weighty at times, but like a lot of things that are weighty, it's also a huge blessing, mm-hmm. especially when you get to the other side of it and yeah. it's done. You can say, we did that. And that was something that we were able to do for the fans and for our team and hopefully even for the Lord, you know, that he's pleased with the work that we did.
Well, it has been a long 2 years, but very satisfying. You guys did a wonderful job. Thanks for coming in today and telling us about it.
Thank yeah. you, guys.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Jesse.
The best is yet to come is the gift that keeps on giving as far as podcast stories go.
And we're not done yet. We'll have the writers, directors, and producers on our next podcast. If you have a question about these episodes, be sure to give us a call on our toll-free comment line. It's 1-855-784-WIT. Always make sure you have a parent's permission before you call.
But before we go, Bob, don't we have a new episode coming up on the club?
Indeed we do. In just a couple days, the Christmas-themed adventure Naughty or Nice releases. Let's hear what that one's about.
This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club, get into the spirit of the season.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too.
Wit gets a surprisingly big present.
Who gave Wit a car?
Well, it has to be someone in this room with the cash.
And someone who's been blessed by your dad in a big way.
While Jay gets a present of his own.
A broken Elvis record. Oh, there's a note. It says, I'm gonna get you.
'Tis the season for solving Christmas mysteries. This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
That's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation to Focus on the Family. Join the club at adventuresinodyssey.com.
And that toll-free comment line again is 1-855-784-9448.
Or if you need to talk to someone in person, the number is 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day is an adventure.
Adventures in Odyssey has taken generations of children on an exciting journey, all the while sharing biblical principles and activating their imaginations. Now, in 2024, we'll be airing our 1,000th episode. To celebrate, we're inviting every member of the Odyssey family to join us for one grand party. This spectacular two-day event is packed with fun and excitement for Adventures in Odyssey fans of every age. Partygoers will enjoy an unmatched immersive experience into the town of Odyssey. Meet and greets with cast and crew, Q&A sessions, trivia contests, and more. The party is topped off with a live episode recording starring fan favorite characters. It's all happening on August 2nd and 3rd in beautiful Colorado Springs, Colorado. Tickets for One Grand Party are going fast. Learn more at onegrandparty.com.